League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
And joining us right now on the HRNP guest line, the one, the only, my guy, Glenn Davis. Glenn, what's up, buddy?
How you doing, Paul? Paul, I mean, what a day. Lovie Smith, James Harden, a Houston Dynamo owner. What else were we talking? Justin Verlander, Kate Upton, and now guess what? The other obvious thing, the World Cup, right?
Yes, the World Cup. I'm bummed out, Glenn, that the U.S. is out. Am I supposed to be happy with what I saw? Because they got out of the group stage after not having been in the last time around. I suppose that that's cool, but I guess I'm just frustrated with the way that the game went. And I know you know way more, and you know that I know that you know way more about soccer than me. The lack of a striker, the just defensive lapses against the Netherlands, it does bum me out more than them getting out of the group stage excites me.
Well, yeah, I would agree with you 100%. Everybody wants to win, so I think the answer to your question is yes and no. From the standpoint of did we want more, did we want to advance, yes. I think I said before that Netherlands game, my concern 100% was the workload on very key players, Musa, Adams, McKinney in midfield, the two outside backs, Robinson and Dest. These guys put in a tremendous amount of work, and I just didn't know how they were going to be able to do that again against the Netherlands. And by the way, all three of those guys, the two outside backs and your central midfielder, Adams, who has played so well, all had huge mental lapses along with their teammates. Yeah. On these three Dutch clinical goals. The pros of the whole tournament, Paul, is the fact that now we're playing more soccer. We have more technical players. We're taking the game to opponents for large portions of matches. And that's not something we have ever seen in the past. We've never seen the Dutch adapt tactics to a U.S. team to this extent or one of the greater soccer-playing nations, quote-unquote. So there are positives. But yeah, you should be in pain a little bit. And yes, I think it was a winnable game, but there's a lot of reasons why we didn't get past it. And I also think we didn't navigate the first three games well enough. You know, we put a lot of energy into those games. Look at Brazil. Brazil's, you know, and I'm not comparing the U.S. to Brazil by any means, but they've conserved so much energy going into their game against Croatia tomorrow.
Yeah, and all of those games were very difficult, especially the end of the Iran game. I mean, geez, there was pins and needles for like the last 30 minutes of that game. So Greg Berhalter, he is the manager of the U.S. team, and I was listening to some podcasts and reading some things, Glenn, about how Greg maybe in this game was trying to do things with his personnel that the personnel weren't capable of doing, and the lack of a striker was something that was brought up a lot. Is there some young player that is potentially waiting in the wings that anyone's aware of at this point that can fill that void? Because now I'm like, hey, can we find someone on Brazil or somebody else, like a dual citizenship, so we can sneak him on the roster?
Well, what a novel idea. Why don't we develop our own? And then I had this discussion on Soccer Matters the other night that, you know, why aren't we producing more strikers now? We're producing tremendous midfielders. We got players on top clubs all over the world, the Juventuses, the Barcelonas, the Milans, and the Dortmunds, and the Chelseas. But, you know, why aren't we developing more strikers? Now, people will say there's a couple that were left off that might have made the difference. But I think, you know, if you look at all the teams that are in the last eight now, I would say six out of eight have world-class stars in striker positions. What are we doing with our youth in this country? Are we too focused on tactics, and are we not working with young players maybe a little bit more from a positional standpoint, because it's always an overabundance of tactical talk. So I don't know. I don't think I have the answer to it, but I do believe there's somebody waiting in the wings, to your point.
Who are you rooting for the rest of the way? I went through it and decided to power rank Glenn all of the teams based off of how awful their country has been over the course of history. So it has nothing to do with soccer. So I was like, I think Morocco seems like the most fun team to root for and also has the least, I guess, skeletons in their closet compared to some of the other nations. But who are you rooting for? And I guess, is there one of these teams that maybe from a United States fan perspective that you can get behind rooting for any specific reason?
Well, you could vote for England because there's a lot of English in this country, and then you could say after they win the World Cup, hey, we tied England.
Yeah,
so
that's a good call.
The World Cup winners. You know, we can play that game.
I like that.
Yeah, you can do that. You can do that if you want. Look, if France wins it, it's two in a row. Like you said, Morocco's a great story. Portugal's playing better without Ronaldo. There's no question. Argentina's a storyline with Lionel Messi finally winning a World Cup up against Maradona. Netherlands has been to three World Cup finals, the greatest country to never win it. You got Brazil, who's won five, going for six. And you got Croatia, who was in the World Cup final the last time. So it's a lot of great storylines with all these teams.
What's the deal with Ronaldo? That story is fascinating, not just the fact that he signed that unbelievable contract to go play in Saudi Arabia. But
well, I don't think it's signed yet, is it?
Well, okay. This is something at the very least that is in the rumor territory of soccer that he might be going to Saudi Arabia.
I don't think he's signed it yet.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for confirming on that one. I guess from a hey, he's playing for Portugal perspective. Like Ronaldo is probably the most recognizable name outside of Lionel Messi in all of soccer, and they put him on the bench and they end up winning 6-1. I mean, I don't know if that was all Ronaldo's fault. I saw some graphic that had been put up of I guess the worst 11 players at their respective positions in the World Cup that had, I guess, played in every single game, and Ronaldo was on that list. Is he just not the same player he used to be anymore? Is he not playing with the team?
Declining. Look, we all know athletes have shelf life, and in a sport of soccer, you die. If you're a soccer player, you die twice, right? You die your career, and then you die naturally in life, right? So, look, if anybody, you know, there's a lot of fanboys for Ronaldo. Remarkable career, amazing soccer player, legendary. But he is a declining player now. He's not very mobile. He's not explosive. I think it's a great move by a head coach to make a very strong decision, Fernando Santos, to bench him, then play a 21-year-old who goes in there and hits for a hat trick. So he looks really good. But he just is portrayed, I think, to the world, like the clothes of the emperor are off. He just doesn't seem like a guy who cares about his teammates. And is, you know, the next day after he makes all these mistakes, his social media team always puts out these, you know, oh, I'm here for Portugal and, you know, all that. And he has been in the past, but I think the buy-in to the team is the problem. But he's a declining player. It's being proven out. And that doesn't mean he might not come in a game and score your winning goal in a World Cup final. But the next couple days before they play on Saturday, it's going to be fascinating to see and learn about how the coach handles this situation with him. I mean, are we going to put the dunce cap at him and put him in the corner? Will he get some buy-in from him to maybe be a guy off the bench? Could he potentially be a starter against Morocco because he might fit in good against the deep defending team? It's all kinds of really cool scenarios, but fascinating and sad at the same time.
It does seem like they're at the very least trying to make him happy, given that they made an investigation of that goal that was scored by, what, I think Bruno Fernandes. They said, wait a second, let's check to see if Ronaldo actually scored it.
Did his hair touch it? My God. You know what? It's the decline of world football, you know, VAR and all the people that got to get involved and validate what they're doing. It's over the top. I'm worried about the commercialism of the game, frankly, if I want to take it in a different direction, and I'm worried about the sacredness of the World Cup.
Glenn Davis, you can hear him with Soccer Matters every single Tuesday, 7 to 9, right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Glenn, it has been too long, my friend. Good to catch up. Let's talk again soon.
And by the way, you got the, you know, your time in Seattle. You know the Sounders, so you know the game. I want to hear you talking World Cup ball.
Okay, I'll try. Listen, sometimes I sound like a total idiot talking soccer, and I feel like I'm just very open with the fact that I don't know what I don't know, but I appreciate the vote of confidence that you've given
me.
Yeah,
but that doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you're a sports talk host. Your opinion matters. I love hearing from you guys. John, Lance, Joel, Jeremy. I mean, it's great to see you guys involved, and I wouldn't hesitate a second to talk about it or have an opinion about it. The whole world's full of elitists, man.
And you know what? Soccer's definitely better than anything the Houston Texans are doing right now. That's for damn sure. Glenn, thanks a bunch, man. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Paul.
That is Glenn Davis, everybody. And again, soccer matters every single Tuesday, 7 to 9. I love Glenn. It was great to catch up with him. We're going to talk with a Houston roughneck at 11:15 who has gone out drinking with me before to talk about the Roughnecks' new uniforms. Up next, an interesting rumor involving those Houston Texans. I know, we're diving right back into it. I'm sorry. What do you want from me? It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. When the lights come on, when the crowd goes wild. Real fun sports.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.